pray over the gifts that have come in this week and also tonight. Father, we just thank you tonight for your goodness in our life. And Father, I thank you even in our giving. The Apostle Paul said that as we give, that you have the ability, God, to give us a grace, something that's beyond our ability, grace, so that all of our needs be met, and God, that we would have leftover blessing. So, Father, I thank you that tonight, that each and every giver, whether it's come in the mail, whether it's come through electronic giving, whatever the situation is, Father, I thank you that your grace, specifically to meet all their needs and to give them abundant blessing, is in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We'll get your Bibles out tonight, your phones, however. How's everybody doing tonight? Everybody doing good? Huh? Rise and shine? Everybody awake? All right, you got your Bibles? Okay. Let's look at a couple things, real quick review. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We're talking about a new and what? Living way. A new and living way. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that's our main scripture here. You've heard me say that a couple months ago. It's like the Spirit drew my attention, said that there's more there than what you see. And so in verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That word new there means never seen before, something that's never been done, never seen before. A new creation, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have what? Become new. If anyone is in who? Christ, he or she is what? A new creation. So if you're in Christ, it doesn't say you're becoming. It says you are. That's the correct terminology. I was going to say is, but my wife helped me out. Because if you're in, you is. Come on, right? Or you are. You're not trying to be. Anyone that's in Christ is a new creation. Old is what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New, and it's more than just your old man, and it's more than just your new nature. We've been digging into that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, we are his workmanship. Help me out. Can anybody else finish that? We are his what? Workmanship created in Christ. Remember, in and is. If you're in, he is. Okay? We are his workmanship created in Christ. Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. It says, in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in verse 10 it says, and you have been made complete in Christ. Come on. If you're in, he is. Amen. I'm going to say it that way. I know it's not right. Is that driving you nuts or anything? I'm saying it that way because you'll remember it. In and is. If you're in Christ, then you are something. You is something. I know that's not right. It's right in my. Okay? And so we want to look at that tonight. Who are we in Christ? And what did God do in Christ that has created something that has never been seen before? The word new means new, not renovated, not the old taken and cleaned up and painted. It means something never seen or done before. Amen. And God did that in Christ. God worked that in Christ. God accomplished that in Christ. Not only did he work it in Christ, he finished it in Christ. And he completed it in Christ. We are complete in him. Come on, right? Go with me real quick to Colossians chapter 1. I want you to see this. In Sunday morning, actually, is when I think I might have caught this for the first time. I've read it many times, but caught it for the first time. And man, I've not been able to get away from this statement here. Verse 27 says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. We've talked about the mystery. We ministered on that. That mystery was hidden in God since before time began. If it was hidden in God before time began, that means that Adam and Eve and the fall and the sin and all that stuff, God knew. Amen. Come on, right? It wasn't Adam and Eve, and then God was blown off course, and he had to alter course and try to figure out how to straighten everything out. The Bible says that this mystery that we're living in was hidden in God before time began. Okay? And it's glorious. And he's making it known to the Gentiles also. And in verse, what is the glory of this mystery? Christ in you. So this is not what I'm preaching on tonight, but it just blessed me. Not only about us being in Christ, it's about him being in us, who he is in us. So who we are in him, who he is in us. Verse 28, he goes, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach. I love that. Who? Christ. We preach Christ. Him we preach. And I've been meditating on that. I'm like, God, that's all I ever want to do is preach him. That's all I ever want to do is preach him. And this desire that Paul is talking about here that was within him, I'm asking God to birth and burn it even greater on the inside of me. He preached Christ. He preached Christ for a purpose. There was a reason behind him preaching him. It says, we preach, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every person, every man, what? Perfect in Christ. If you're in, you is. Okay? If you're in, you're is. Paul said, I preach him. And the purpose behind me preaching him is that through the wisdom and the teaching and the admonishing that we're preaching about him, that everyone will be perfect in Christ. Perfect. And what's the word perfect mean? It means what? Complete. It means to be crammed full. Okay? It means to be complete. It means to be finished. All right? That you would be perfect in him. Now, go with me real quick to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want you to see this. We talked about this Sunday morning, but I want you to see that it's all about him. Ephesians. Did I say Ephesians 4? Let's start in verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, talking about the ministry gifts. For what did he give gifts to the body for? For the what? Equipping of the who? Saints. Who's the saints? That's us. Come on, amen. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Who's the body of Christ? That's us, amen. Till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a what? Perfect man, complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Paul said, I preach him so that you might be complete, perfect in him. Amen. I preach him. I'm equipping you. When I preach him, he's equipping us to be complete in him. Jesus said, it is what? Finished. It's done. When did he say that? On the cross. Okay? Go with me. And I'm not sure where we're going to end up tonight. I've just got a bunch of things written down here. Let me look over them real quick. Hebrews chapter 10. Okay, and we're going to look at verse 9, 2. It says, then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He who takes away the first, that he may establish the second. Okay, we're talking about that new and living way. We're talking about the old. Okay, that scripture right there, that arrests my attention. In this study, in my thinking, if I was to read that, that would arrest my attention. Because it talks about that he takes away something and he's establishing something. Come on, right? And so I'd say, hold on. Then this must have something to do with what we're talking about. Okay? Old and new. Remember? The letter does what? Kills. But the spirit does what? Gives life. The law brought death and what? Condemnation. The spirit brings righteousness and righteousness, peace, and what? In life. Amen. All the good stuff. Okay. Verse 10. By that will which he came to do, we have been sanctified. Is that present, past, or past? Right? We have been what? Sanctified. By that will we have been sanctified. The word sanctified means to be set apart. Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, we've been sanctified how? Through the offering of, what was the offering? The body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 11, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice, which can never take away what? Sins. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Remember, he said it's finished. Now, even in this passage of Scripture, it makes reference that the priests in the Old Testament never sat down. They always stood, offering every day, always offering, okay? But Jesus, after he made his offering, once and for all, he sat down, verse 13, at the right hand of God, verse 13, from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, get a hold of this, for by one what? Offering, he has perfected, there's that word again, we are complete, how? In him. We are perfected, how? In him. We are sanctified through this one offering, past tense, okay? It says, for by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being set apart. For by one offering he has perfected, completed, finished forever those who are being set apart. Go back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. How are we complete? How are we perfected according to what we just read in him? What did it say over there? Verse 14, for by one offering, what was the offering? His body, right? His blood, his body. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Okay? By that one offering, his body. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's go back there real quick. And I want you to see this. Verse 17 is the one that we've been talking about. But I want you to look. Let me get over there real quick. Verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, there's that offering, right? If one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Okay? So he died through that one offering of his body. The Bible says he died for all, and that we're no longer supposed to live for ourselves, but we're supposed to live for him. Verse 16, therefore, what does therefore mean? It's therefore because something comes before, and what comes after therefore is attached to what came before. So what he did in his body, okay, what he did in that one sacrifice, that one offering, verse 16, therefore from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new what? Creation. His offering of his body, his offering, that one offering, it says he sat down forever, making perfect all those who are being sanctified. That one offering in Christ. Now, I want you to see something tonight that I've not seen before. Okay? Because it changes, and I've taught it the other way. But it changes something. He said that in his body, he perfected all those who are being sanctified. He said that he died, that one offering, he died for all. Therefore, because of what he's done, we no longer regard anyone, know anyone, evaluate anyone, look at anyone, perceive anyone. That's what that word regard means. Perceive anyone according to the flesh. Now, I want to tell you, it's valuable and it's important for you not to look at somebody else any longer who's in Christ according to the flesh, because Jesus died for them. But it's really important and really valuable that you no longer regard yourself according to the old. Amen. Because he died for you. Not because you're doing something. Let me just say this. Any sacrifice we make for him, whether it's through persecution, like Mary was sharing, being persecuted because she's just trying to love on someone and they're calling her names and all that type of thing, whatever. If it's persecution, whatever. If we suffer for him, that suffering has no redemptive value. Do you understand what I mean by that? It can't redeem anyone. And it doesn't need to redeem anyone. Because when Jesus, and it can't redeem me, me suffering for him doesn't redeem me. His one sacrifice redeems me. And because that one sacrifice, I am perfect in him. And therefore, I can no longer regard, perceive, look at, know myself according to the flesh. Well, if I'm not supposed to regard or know myself according to the flesh, what am I supposed to know? Where am I going to find out who I am? Who am I supposed to know myself according to? Christ. Come on. Because I'm in Christ, and he's in me. Now, I want you to see something here. See something here real quick. Let's go with me to Colossians chapter 2. And we read verse 9 and 10. So we've got a little time. Let's start in verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, talking about Christ. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. By putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Okay, now it's saying we were circumcised. In Romans it says we were crucified with him, we died with him, we were buried with him, we've been risen with him. Come on, right? And it says that God worked all this who raised him from the dead. So this ain't something we're doing. This is not something we're achieving. This is something we're receiving. There's a difference between achieving something and receiving something. Okay? We're receiving this because God worked this in Christ. Verse 13. In you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made. Is that present, past, or future? Is made, it's past, right? Making is made. If it is future, would be made, right? He has made, notice you were dead, you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So, we're going to see something in our study. We're going to get into some things in our study concerning when talking about the flesh, concerning about all those things. And you say, well, see, there it just said that you're dead in your trespasses and then circumcision your flesh. No, it says, it goes on to say, and you were made alive together with him. It also said just above that, that we were circumcised with the circumcision of Christ. Past. Look at verse 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. Now, we could go over where we read it, where it says that the Spirit gives life, but the letter does what? And we talked about the ministry of the old that came through Moses and the glory, how he came down from the mountain, and how he came down from the mountain and his face shine, and they couldn't look at his face, so they put a veil on his face, and it says that he brought down the letter. It was written and engraved on stones. Come on, right? And it says that ministry was glorious, but that ministry brought condemnation and what? Death. It says then the ministry of the Spirit will be more glorious, and the ministry of the Spirit brings life. Come on, right? And righteousness. Come on, right? So he has done something about those writings that the Bible says was against us, contrary to us. Okay? Having, what does it say? Wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to what? To the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Okay? Now, I've always taught that the it that he triumphed over them in was the cross. But my Bible doesn't say that he perfected me through the cross. My Bible says that he perfected me through the offering of his body. Come on, right? But I've always said he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, it being the cross. Well, let's look at this again here. Verse 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it. What was nailed to the cross? His body was. Right? He was. Having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. What was nailed to the cross? His body. What did he triumph over them in? We'll get into that some more, okay? The Word became what? Flesh. And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then it goes on down in John chapter 1, verse 17. It says that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Okay? God did something so incredible, not just in the cross, but in the body that was nailed to the cross. His body that was nailed to the cross. And we are complete in what he did in that. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he said, "This is my what? Body broken for you." Okay? Now, I'm not taking anything away from the cross. I'm not taking anything away from the cross. The Bible says that the cross is the power of God. But it's not just the cross. It's what was nailed to the cross. And he triumphed over them, not just in the cross, but in the sacrifice that was nailed to the cross. Okay? We'll see that in just a moment. Go with me to Romans. Romans, and let me see where we'll start. There's so much in Romans. Let's start in Romans chapter 7. And verse 1, 2, and 3, Paul starts talking about a woman being married to a man and that she's bound by the law as long as her husband is alive. But if her husband dies and she's no longer bound to that law, she's free to marry. Okay, he's using that example to teach us what he starts in verse 4. Verse 4, "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law." Okay? Through, what's your Bible say? Through what? Through the body of Christ. He triumphed over them in it. Not the cross, but in what God did in his body. Okay? The Word became flesh. Man, I tell you what, when I saw this, I got so pumped. God took out the principalities and powers. God took out Satan. Through his Word. The Word became flesh. And that flesh was nailed to the cross. And through his body, the Bible says that we're dead to the law. That you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that you should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh. That's past tense, right? When we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Okay? There's old and new. Right? We're supposed to serve in the newness of what? The Spirit. Not in the oldness of what? The letter. Come on, right? And he accomplished this how? Through his body. Go with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Now, when it's said over there that when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to the death. That's past tense, right? When we were in the flesh. Meaning that we're no longer in the flesh, right? What are we in then? In the Spirit. Look at this here. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. Romans 8, 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the what? The Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. You're not in the flesh. So let me just ask you this question. When he's talking about flesh here, when Paul's talking about flesh here, is he talking about our natural body? No, he's talking about something different. Come on, right? And according to what he's saying, we're no longer in it. We were in it, but we're no longer in it. We're in something completely different. We're no longer under the letter. We're no longer under that. We're under something completely different. We're no longer in the flesh. We're in the Spirit. Come on, right? Help me out. Are we in the flesh or are we in the Spirit? How are we in the Spirit and not in the flesh? Huh? Through Christ. Through what? Through his body that was nailed to the cross. And you're perfect through that one sacrifice. Through his body. Come on, right? You're complete. What God has done in that is so amazing that we've gone from the old to where we have the ability to walk in newness of life. What he's done. Now, look at this here in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says we're not in the flesh. Okay? So, that's over here, right? The flesh is on this side, right? We're not in that. Where are we? We're in Christ, right? So we're here in the Spirit, in the newness of the Spirit, right? Come on, right? Okay, let's go back to verse 1 of Romans chapter 8. It says, there is therefore now no want. Condemnation. The Bible says that the law brought condemnation and death, but Jesus brought grace and truth. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are what? In Christ. You are complete in him. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to what? Spirit. Now, are you in the flesh or in the Spirit? Come on, right? Now, watch this, because what we talked up to this point, we realized that it's not talking about walking according to our natural man. It's not talking about that. It's talking about something that has passed. It's talking about the letter. It's talking about something that's past, and it's talking about something that we're walking in now that's new. Okay? But then for some reason, we'll start reading Romans chapter 8, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, and all of a sudden we'll start making it our natural man. We're not in the flesh, right? We were, but through the body of Christ, we are no longer. Come on, right? Verse 2. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, he's going back and forth. Spirit, what's over here? The law, death, condemnation, flesh. What's over here? Spirit, right? Life. Come on, right? He's going back and forth. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the want? Flesh. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in his body. Now, does that say sin or sins? Singular. Because it's a noun and not a verb. He condemned sin in his body. He triumphed over them in it. He made a public spectacle of them in the body that hung on that cross. What God did in sending his word in flesh, to where his flesh, through his flesh, he did something we could not do. Come on. That we could not do. Look at this in verse 4. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now look, this is what we start doing. We start saying, okay, well, if I walk according to the flesh, that means in order for me to walk according to the Spirit, I've got to get up in the morning, I've got to pray, I've got to get my mind on the Spirit, I've got to walk according to the Spirit. That's putting it right back into this natural. Walking according to the Spirit, walking according to the flesh, isn't something here. It's what he's talking about is we walk according to the new law, the law of the Spirit that's in Christ Jesus that has set me free from the law of sin and death. If I walk according to this, come on, or will I walk according to this? He condemned sin now in his body, in the flesh. Come on, right? Now, hallelujah. I want to show you one more scripture. Let's see. Now I just need to choose which one. And then we're going to read one. Romans chapter 6. So much here. And when we read this, you have to read it with the mindset that this is the completed work that God did in Jesus. Okay? Not what we're doing. In Romans chapter 6, verse 7 says, "For he who has died has been freed from what? Sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to what? Sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." I'm telling you, there's so much here. There's so much here. We'll stop, wrap it up here, in closing. He said that we have died to what? Sin. And we're alive to? Alive to God, right? Okay. We're dead to what? Sin. Alive to God. Isn't what it said there? Dead to what? Sin. Alive to God. Dead to sin. Alive to God, okay? Our mindset makes the entire difference. We're transformed by the renewing of our what? Mind. I'm going to tell you that a lot of people, including myself, spend the majority of their life with this available, living in this. We have been set free from sin. But then we will spend so much time teaching sin and not preaching him. Does that make sense? When preaching Him is the key to us being perfected. Come on, right? For us to get complete, preaching Him. You say, well, Pastor, you got to preach against sin. You got to preach against sin. You got to preach against sin. Brother, you got to preach against sin. You got to preach against sin. You got that message one or two times. You got to preach against sin. You got to preach against sin. You got to preach against sin. We're dead to sin. Alive to who? How? Through the sacrifice of His body. So we're no longer attached to this. Come on, right? We're no longer bound to this. We're able to marry another. Him who is alive. It's a new and living way. Now, Paul says, do we sin because we're under grace? God forbid. But we're going to find out that under the old, they tried to achieve. Under the new, we receive. We are the branch. He is the vine. It says that we bear fruit. Look at it. We're going to close. Bearing fruit is understanding grace. Bearing fruit is what Paul said. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Yet it's not I. He said, I labor more abundantly than all, yet not I. I'm just a branch. He said, the grace that's in me, the grace that I have, the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God, but I labor more abundantly than all, yet not I, but the grace that's with me. What he's describing there is the parable of the vine and the branch. We're the branch. We can do nothing of ourselves. He's the vine. Paul's saying, I may have labored, I worked, but it wasn't me. It was that grace coming from the vine. We're created, we are His workmanship, created in Christ for good works. Look at this here. One more scripture, we're going to close. And we've already given you the scripture, so I'm not really giving you a new one, so this is not like really continuing. Okay, this counts as before. Come on, right? You've been set free from sin. Okay? We've got to quit identifying with that. I'm telling you, we do it all the time. We identify with the old. We identify with the condemnation. We identify with the shame. We don't identify with the righteousness that's a gift. The Bible says, I reign in life through grace, the abundance of grace, and the gift of righteousness. It's not my righteousness. It's His righteousness. In fact, it says the children of Israel, they would not submit to God's righteousness. They tried to establish their own. When you try to earn something from God, even though you're saved, born again, filled with the Spirit, and you say, man, I tell you what, I'm going to pray an hour a day. And in your mindset, you're coming from the position of over here earning something from God instead of enjoying the relationship that you have with Him. How shallow would it be if every morning I got up, let me see, what do I need? I'm going to talk to you today. You know I'm going to talk to you today? Because I need something. So I'm going to earn what I need by talking to you. Is that a deep relationship or is that shallow? That's shallow. Come on, right? It's a completely different mindset. We've gone from, we are no longer, the Bible says, no longer what? Servants, but what? Sons, right? Isn't it interesting that right now we're watching someone, who is the prince that no longer wants to really be in the?
Harry.
Isn't it interesting that we're watching a prince want to leave wants to leave who he is, in a sense, okay? And I'm not against it. I mean, I think there's probably so much stuff that we don't even realize that they just want to have life, okay? What I'm saying is, it's interesting, is that a son in the line of the king, okay, is in a sense leaving that lineage, was watching it. It's just opposite for us. We've gone from servants to what? Sons. Okay? Servants earn everything. Sons inherit everything. We've gone from servants to kings. Kings don't earn. Kings just walk in and receive. And kings, they get things done by what? Speaking. It's the same thing in the kingdom. Okay? Now, you're exactly right. We, under this old, we were trying to achieve something. Under the new, we receive what we could not achieve. But God accomplished that in the body of Christ. Okay, now let's look at this real quick, barefoot. Romans 7, verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ. How? Through what he nailed it to the cross, his body, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead. Look right here. Not so that we could go out and do works, even though it is works, but that we should bear what? Fruit to God. Now, Jesus said, if you don't believe me for my words, believe me because the works that I do. Now, he said, the works that I want do. This is exactly like what Paul said. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And I labored, I did more abundantly than all, yet not I, the grace of God in me. Jesus said, if you don't believe me for the words that I say, believe me for the work's sake. Believe me for the works that I do. But it's not I that did the works. It was the Father in me. Come on, can you say amen? So Jesus spoiled principalities, powers, might, dominion. He condemned sin. He set us free from sin. He knocked sin out. See, well, Pastor, I still deal with it. You still, the verb, you still do, you still miss the mark, but he has condemned the noun, sin, and set you free from sin, okay? And that's who you are, and we're growing. I'm preaching him to you so that you can grow into the full stature of him. We're being changed from glory to glory into the same what? Image. How are we being changed? By the Spirit. There's so much. I've got to stop. Father, we just thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I thank you tonight for what you've accomplished in your son Jesus. God, continue to teach us and lead us in this new life. Open our eyes, our spiritual eyes. God, as we leave this place, we want to bear fruit. The Spirit of God on the inside of us doing the work. We thank you for tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys so much. I appreciate your attentiveness. Hallelujah. You are a new, never seen before creation. That's why it's so difficult for us to know how to walk in it, because it's never been seen before, but we can find out who we are in Christ. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful night. Amen. I love each and every one of you. You're full of grace.